And now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun, informative green talk radio show featuring guests from all over the country talking about how living green can be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website at www.MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com for more information about her guests.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. Happy Saturday. This is News Talk 790 KNST. I am indeed Mrs. Green, and you have tuned in to this All Green Talk radio show where we have proven over and over again that living green can be fun and informative and can be a green conundrum at times, so you get to make up your own mind. Once again, we have a very interesting show today. We have two in-studio guests, Sally Aroa and Masha Medanner from the GMO Free Project based right here in Tucson. And if you're saying, what is a GMO, you really want to stay tuned. This is one of the most fascinating subjects since my journey of Mrs. Green began. So do you guys want to say hello so they know I'm not making you up?
My name is Masha Medanner, and hello, Mrs. Green, and hello, Tucson.
Great.
And I'm Sally. Mrs. Green, thank you for having us here today.
It's great to have you, and I have lots of questions, so get ready. As always, I want to thank Chapman Automotive. I don't know if many of you have seen me tooling about town, but I have the most adorable car from Chapman, and you may have seen that little green bug. And Neb Yonis, who's been a guest on our show quite a few times, keeps saying, I have to switch to a hybrid. Well, Neb, if you're listening, I'm ready. I heard from one of the Chapmans yesterday that there's a new Mercedes hybrid. So, Neb, if you want to trade me out, I am so ready. If you're listening, I'm ready to switch. But in all seriousness, thank you, Chapman, for your support and for all the great green hybrid cars that you do sell in hopefully increasing quantities, okay? So in the news today, I want to keep bringing up Bookmans. It's been very much in my life these days because I have daughters getting rid of stuff. And my husband went in there the other day with their stuff and came out with $170. So that's not a bad thing. Take your CDs, your books, your DVDs, books on tape. It's a great place to sit around and be part of a community. They allow you to have meetings there if you have nonprofits for free. It's just a great, locally owned, wonderfully supportive, sustainable community. Okay, so I have some wacky news to report today, and I just call it wacky because I remember when this happened last year, and it was all about parking day, and this is one of the challenges of radio. It's park, and then in parentheses, ING, returns to Tucson on Friday, September 18th. So that's in a couple of days, this Friday, and it's round two. So what is Parking Day? It's an international celebration of open spaces in urban environments. And I so remember this. I went downtown, and what happens is that a group of citizens will adopt a metered parking spot for a day, and then they create their idea of a better use. So they make a temporary park, thus the breaking up of the park and ing. So I love it. And I know that some people were very annoyed because it took, in their opinion, much needed parking spaces. But as for Mrs. Green, I thought it was pretty funny and pretty adorable and pretty creative. And little patches of green here and there. If you want more information, of course, you can always email Mrs. Green at info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream. They have their own website, www.parkingday.org. And you can actually call if you're really into this and it makes you really excited. You can call to get a space reserved on 4th Avenue or at the main gate. And there are numbers to call, but you can email me for that. So I think it's pretty fun. And as you know, I think living green is fun. So I like that. And I don't think I've mentioned Greer in a couple of weeks. I just got back from there 2 weeks ago. It's to me the great green getaway because you go up and you park your car and then you never want to leave the cabin or wherever you are. You just want to walk around and be cool. And if you go up there, you will thank me. I promise you that. You can call or you can go to the Molly Butler Cabin Keepers website and go see the leaves change colors. It was shocking to me about 3 years ago when we went up there. And it looks like places that you go in Vermont. There were yellow and red and orange and all of these great things. So it's an awesome, great place to go and a wonderful family getaway. Okay, now here's one of my favorite things to talk about. I call it the Great Green Conundrum. And this is like when I said some wacky news today, I found something. It came to me. So I read this really long article in the Wall Street Journal by a man named Robert Bryce. And it's about windmills killing our birds. Now, as you know, there are lots of big venture capital companies investing in windmill for wind power. It's back on track and people are investing in it. So here's the green conundrum. They talk about how ExxonMobil on August 13th was fined $600,000 for killing 85 birds. That was because of an oil spill. And I think that $600,000 probably didn't even show up on the Exxon balance sheet because they make billions. So that's okay with me. And then a utility company in Oregon was sued for $1.4 million in fines and restitution for killing 332 eagles in Wyoming over the past 2 years. And the reason why they were fined is because they were electrocuted by poorly designed power lines. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want poorly designed power lines out there either, so I'm okay with that one. So now what do you do? Here's the green conundrum. The American Bird Conservancy estimates that U.S. wind turbines kill between 75,000 and 275,000 birds per year, and there has not been any action against them. There has been a really, there's to me, if you don't have your oil tanker all dialed in, not good. If you have poor electricity or poorly designed power lines, not good. But how can you blame a wind company for a bird flying into a turbine? I have not figured that out yet. Can you find an airplane that crashes because a bird got in their propeller? I'm like, I'm saying, this is the green conundrum. I'm sitting up there last night pulling my hair out. So to me, this man is saying we have to crack down on the wind power companies that are using windmills. And if you have an answer for how we would prevent birds from flying into the windmills, I'm sorry. It's like that is not really their fault, in my opinion. Now, the other thing is what the Wind Power and Energy Association says in their behalf. So here's the next piece for you to think about. House cats kill about 1 billion birds annually. So I don't know how we're going to start finding them, but to me, it is the great green conundrum. So that is the news that I have to report this week, and I hope you enjoyed it. If there's one thing I want you to remember, since we are going to be talking about the non-GMO-free project, is don't forget about the fruit mappers that will go to any neighborhood, and they will pick up your fruit off the ground. They use it. They don't throw it out. I can't even conceive of anybody listening to this show that could see any fruit rotting and not feel guilty at the very least. Hopefully, instead of feeling guilty, you will contact www.fruitmappers.org and have these volunteers come and pick the fruit. If you're elderly, they will pick the fruit and give it to you. This is a volunteer organization that does a lot of good things in our community. So, what is a GMO and why should you care? You should. Stay tuned and we'll find out two great guests that have lots to say about this topic. We will be right back. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST.
Three times six is
18.
And the 18th letter in the alphabet is
R.
Yeah. We got three R's we're gonna talk about today. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuce, recycle.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. We have two unbelievably well-informed, knowledgeable guests in the studio today, Sally Iroa and Masha Meedanner from the GMO Free Project based right here in Tucson. And thank you both for being here today. The way that I came to cross paths with these two women is from my friend Tori Ligon, who she tells me what to do and I just do it. She said, you have to go see this movie. And I showed up and I was so glad I did. I was certainly aware of what a GMO was, know about a lot of the incredible controversy, certainly know where I stand on the issue, but seeing that movie sealed the deal. I mean, it's a mind-opening, incredibly intellectually challenging movie to even get your head around. So thanks for coming in, and let's answer to our audience, what is a GMO and why should we care?
Thank you very much. Well, you hear the term GMO, you might hear GE or GM. GMO stands for genetically modified organism, and it's the result of a laboratory process where they take genes from one species and insert them into another species to get some kind of characteristic, usually herbicide resistance or pesticide resistance. And these are in our food supply since about the middle of 1990. We've been eating them. We don't know about them because there's been no labeling on this.
So no really testing by the government, no long-term testing. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. There's been no long-term testing. The testing that was done was presented by the companies who created the GMOs.
Lots of credibility there for me.
And the FDA approved it, even though the FDA's own scientists, this came out later, said there is many health risks involved for humans.
And they show documents, copies of documents in the film that were actual documents of people inside the FDA saying, time out, folks, we need to really test this somewhat, right? Mm-hmm. So, Sally, what got you first interested in this, in the GMO issue? Because I know you're really passionate about it.
Right. Well, I worked at New Life Health Center, and I always got information from coworkers, employees, and this fabulous journal called the Well-Being Journal. And so I was constantly seeing how many products actually contained GMOs. And it's scary. A lot of the things I read were really scary. And I'm also a mother.
I was hoping you'd bring that up. You have a baby.
The effects of GMOs on children are even more horrible because they're young, they're smaller.
They're in their formative years.
Exactly.
It's starting to show up. Mm-hmm. The research is starting to be there to support that, correct?
They're more susceptible to toxins and allergies. And also they might be impacted by the fact that antibiotic-resistant diseases can be created from the GMOs.
Now, Masha, is there such a thing as a good GMO? Are they all bad? I mean, seriously, is there a time when it could happen that it really does improve the quality? Because some scientific improvements are good. Do you know of one example where the genetic modification, you know, I remember that commercial that said, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. And I'm thinking, I can't think of an example, but maybe you know of one.
No, I don't know of an example. And I think that the research that's being done and the scientists don't really know all what happens when you start changing genes around between species. And that, to me, is one of the scariest things.
You see lots of mutants. That's what we saw in the film. Nobody made this up. It wasn't engineered by Photoshop. You saw mutant crops. And I'm thinking, I'm eating that? I don't think I want to. And I was going to do, I usually do my green tip, but I really am so excited and interested in this topic. But there's more research now out about just organic foods. If you can't afford to eat all organic, the top 10 that you should eat. And they said the number one most toxic fruit measured by the number of pesticides are peaches. Well, that's just such a wonderful fruit. So you have to be careful. It's not genetic modification, but it's, again, I have grandchildren, I have children, apples, sweet bell peppers, celery, nectarines. I mean, if people knew how much this food is sprayed, you might as well go spray some Raid in your mouth, okay? But genetic modification, what upset me so is that I'm eating a pesticide that is basically covered up in the actual product. It's not sprayed on. It's in it. So it's going in my body, you know, how much I scrub and all that. Give us an example of some of the foods that have been genetically modified. Because I know when I talk to Tori, not all of our food supply is genetically modified. So what are some of the most common things that we eat every day?
Some of the most common crops are soy, corn, canola, cottonseed, and now sugar beets. So unless it says, let's say you're eating something that has soy in it, unless it says organic or non-GMO, it's most likely going to be genetically modified. And with these crops, there are also hidden ingredients in food. You'll read a label and you'll come down to the last ingredient, soy lecithin. Well, most likely genetically modified, but they're just kind of stuck in there. They're not the major crops.
And people look at it and say, what's soy lecithin? That must be okay, like me. Now I won't think that anymore. Okay, so you have, when you say sugar beets, I mean, what is there that doesn't have sugar in it that you can buy at the grocery store?
Yes.
Not a lot.
Americans eat a lot of sugar, and most of our sugar was from sugar cane. You know, okay, maybe you don't want to eat that much sugar, but now you've got to make the choice. It says sugar. Is it from sugar cane or is it from sugar beets? And are those sugar beets genetically modified?
And it's, to me, it's about saving lives. This is not melodrama, even though I love to be melodramatic. It's really not about melodrama. It's about saving lives, not in the order of saving the planet. This is about our own bodies. And I've said this on the show before, but when we had our Green Media Alliance event in April, we flew in this expert from New York City, and she said the number one reason why people care about more sustainable choices is their health. So to me, GMOs, number one health issue. Okay, so what's going on about wheat? It's been in the Wall Street Journal constantly. And what I love about the WSJ is that it reports. There's not a lot of opinion in the green area or the sustainability area. They tell me what's going on. And there has been a lot about the uproar about wheat, which is, I mean, you talk corn, sugar, and wheat. That's the American diet. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. Wheat is the major ingredient in baked goods. Wheat, back in 2004, Monsanto tried to introduce GM wheat. Well, we export a lot of wheat, and the European Union doesn't want the GM wheat. Japan doesn't want the GM wheat.
You're kidding me.
So Monsanto said, I will put this aside. It's back again. They're trying to reintroduce the GE wheat, and on both sides have come out with some farmers are all right with it and other position papers saying we don't want this. The Organic Consumers Association says we don't want the GE wheat. And if it is that major ingredient in food, it's going to be right out there as opposed to soy and corn, which can kind of get snuck in to foods.
Right, right, right. And I know this is kind of a little bit scattered off the subject a minute, but from what I can gather, as with most major corporations, the reason for the genetic modification is 100% bottom line driven financially. Is that correct? I mean, is that fair to say that?
I would say that's
fair. They want to make more money, and I've heard heinous stories about Monsanto suing farmers, which we'll get to later in the show, but then you don't have to use a pesticide that would cost more money. You don't have to employ the people that are going to put the pesticides on. So it's for a more shippable, durable, whatever, crop, but it doesn't do anything ever to enhance the nutritional value or the shelf life or anything like that. Is that true? Maybe the shelf life. Yeah.
It doesn't enhance the nutritional value.
Ever.
It allows, right, ever. It allows the farmer to spray more herbicides. So I say the question is, why do we want any herbicides sprayed on our food anyway? Farmers then have to buy the seed from one company. They have to buy the seed from Monsanto. And in the agreement, when they buy the seed, they have to use Monsanto's herbicide Roundup.
And in the movie, like they have a corn seed called Roundup. It's like, okay, that makes me feel good. I'm eating a corn with a name of Roundup. What about, it says, I looked in a number of different places, and I don't like the idea of big monopolies, period, end of story, because I like free trade and competition and all of that. It was anywhere from Monsanto. Some site said they control 70% of the world's food supply. Some said 90. What's your take on that?
Monsanto is buying up more and more seed companies because they do want to control those crops.
I don't like that. That's why I want people to wake up. Corn, soybeans, cotton, and canola. So they're doing that, the gene splicing and all of that. So they're on a very aggressive mission. The story that I was going to tell you when I was talking about this, I think it was at my Rotary, somebody said that they had a friend in the Midwest that grew corn, and a Monsanto company was in the cornfield down the street, and I'm not a farmer, obviously, and the wind blew, and the Monsanto crop took over, and Monsanto screwed them up. They sued them for patent infringement. It's like, is that real? And they lost. The small guy farmer who did nothing but plant his crops, he lost. Have you heard things like that in your research?
You pointed out a very good problem with GMOs. It's the cross-pollination. Wind will go and pollinate to another crop.
Nature.
And you cannot have organic or conventionally grown right next to a GMO field and expect that they will stay separate.
So and I would assume that because of these being genetically modified, they'd be the dominant gene. That's what it's all about. So they're going to take over your crops.
They're going to take over your crops, and Monsanto has that patent.
And they're just so happy about that. Can you imagine having a patent on crops?
I mean, food?
I'm from Jersey. Do you know how much it ticks me off that I had to pay to go to the ocean? I'm like, who made this ocean? And why are you charging me $10 so I can put my toe in the water? And to me, it's the same thing. Paying for seeds in such a control market. I mean, I can understand paying for seeds, but to have it so tightened and so controlled by one source, it just really scares me a lot. So when we come back, I really want to talk about what's going on here in Tucson. I really want to talk about my experience with the movie, and there's another one coming up. I really want to promote that. So you're listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST, where we are having fun and heaven forbid we're learning about GMOs. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more information about what's happening here in Tucson.
Hold me down, please, and let me go. I'm dying to be out on my own, and I think I might.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. We have two wonderful in-studio guests, Sally Aroa and Masha Meedanner from the GMO Free Project. It's not anything to do with UFOs. It's GMO, genetically modified organisms. If you think you don't care, you really do, and that's how I feel. I feel like I'm among the converted, and I am so mainstream. I say that all the time, but it's changing my life in ways that I never thought possible. I have been referring to the movie, and on break, Masha pointed out, Gina, you never said what the name of the movie is, which is so like my personality. So, Sally, tell us the name of the movie.
The movie is The World According to Monsanto.
Okay.
And we're going to be showing this movie again this month, Thursday, September 24th. There are two free showings, one's at 6:30 p.m., one's at 9 o'clock p.m. And this is located at the Grand Cinemas Crossroads Movie Theater on Grant and Swan. Please bring a can of organic or non-GMO food for the community food bank.
Which, I mean, that just tripped me right up. It's like, okay, where would I even get that? From the food co-op? It made me think about it. I don't really buy a lot of canned vegetables. So where would you go? Do you have to go to the food co-op? Or does Safeway sell non-GMO cans of food?
Yeah, some of the major shopping stores do have them. Safeway does have its own organics
brand?
Line. The O brand.
They
yeah.
are good. Okay,
also,
okay.
Also, you know, green beans are not genetically modified.
Right.
It's those other crops, like we said, the corn, soy, canola, cotton, and sugar beets.
And I think we should talk some more a little bit about that. But this movie, let me just set the tone here for that. So Tori tells me I have to go, and I'm joking. I do everything she tells me. And I go with my little granddaughter, Madison, and we get there early because I want to see what's going on and if there's literature out in the lobby. And there's a line, okay? And I'm thinking, well, that's good. And then thinking who I might see, because I go to a lot of green festivals. And number one, the range and the diversity of the demographics. I'm a scanner, and I'm always looking at the crowd. It was every age, every socioeconomic group. We saw young. We saw old. Of course, I'm not old. Old, middle age, everything in between, from what we call the Birkenstock crowd to the high heels and white collared shirts. It blew me away. So what happened, as you know, not only did it fill up about 15 minutes before the movie started, there was a huge line when I came out. I had my granddaughter save my seat, and I had somebody else help her say, don't let anybody take this seat. And there was a huge line out the door, and you had to turn people away. Is that why the movie's coming back?
Yes, we've had many requests. At that movie showing, I think the manager of the Crossroads said, you probably turned away about 200 people.
I'm sure. And I was so happy. That's all I can tell you. I was so happy because to me, it was very, very reflective of the world is waking up and they want to know. They care. They care about their health. They care about their children's health or their grandchildren's health. So I was really happy about that. Do either one of you want to talk a little bit about the genesis of the movie? It was a French woman.
It was a French woman who put it together. It is in English now. The film was released in March of 2008. We've been showing it because we want to make sure that people know about this issue because everybody eats food.
Right.
And it is a common issue.
If they want to live.
But it's a hidden one.
Right, right. So the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, which I like to see these, you know, kind of mainstreams, you look at it, to give it credibility, has called for a moratorium on GM foods. They have not said, stop doing it, let's stop putting it on the shelves so that some longer-term studies can be done. And when you think about it, drug trials can take 20 years. We didn't do that with food. And like you just said, everybody does it. We all eat it. So they want more independent studies. They're asking for labeling, and they called upon physicians to educate their patients, the medical community, and the public to avoid genetically modified food when possible and at least provide educational materials concerning GM foods and health risks. So just give me a little bit, Reader's Digest. We touched upon it. What are some of the health risks that they have uncovered so far? She's reaching for a card. You're so prepared. You guys, I knew this would happen. I love it.
Some of them are the allergic reactions. These are proteins. Proteins are one of the most allergic things in that people do have reactions to. They saw when GM soy was introduced in the United Kingdom, soy allergies skyrocketed by 50%. Also, they affect our immune system, which asthma, arthritis. In lab animals, they're seeing infant mortality rates high, stomach lesions. You know, none of these sound very nice in lab animals, but the same thing could be happening in human beings.
And it's to me, I feel like I came out of that movie and I thought, I've been duped. I have been so duped. This should have been on the front page of every paper because you know what? If I choose to eat a genetically modified food, fine. Just let me know. I want to make a concerned choice. And that's all I'm asking listeners to do. Go ahead, educate yourself, dare to educate yourself, and then know what you're doing. And there is something we can do. We can absolutely stop it. So what can the average person do? What are some calls to action that you guys recommend? I know you have, I have it in my purse, the non-GMO shopping guide, which is handy. And I didn't ask if it was printed with soy ink or anything, but it's still very handy. So what are some things that people, they always want the takeaway or the how-to? What's your? Give me a couple of your top three or four or five.
Okay, first I suggest you go to our website, which is the GMOfreeprojectoftucson.org.
Great new website.
First class.
Really, truly.
You can download a copy. There's a link there. You can download a copy of the non-GMO shopping guide, which is put out by the Institute of Responsible Technology.
Imagine that.
Also on our website, there are links to other websites, one of them being Institute of Responsible Technology, which is responsibletechnology.org, where you can become educated. Because as you say, Mrs. Green, people have to become educated. The others, as we mentioned before, is avoiding those major crops. And the way this is going to change is by consumers telling manufacturers, we do not want GMOs in our food. So taking action, calling, emailing, writing, stop buying that particular food product from that particular company.
Right. You know, I refuse, which is not like me, I refuse to get involved in the healthcare debate. I just refuse because, as I say, there's just no cheese down that tunnel. Okay? So what I do say to people is, did you ever think about why we have such skyrocketing healthcare costs with all of these new fibromyalgia, all kinds of new diseases cropping up all the time? So what has changed from 50 years ago? Because my parents lived long, healthy lives. My mother smoked until she was about 65. She lived till she was 86. It's probably because she didn't have pesticide-infested cigarettes. Not that I'm advocating that, but it was different. It was really different than what people are smoking today. And they had none of this. And look at all of the childhood diseases that are on the rise, childhood obesity, on and on and on. Why do we have rising health care costs? That, to me, is looking at the end of the problem instead of swimming upstream a little bit and saying, why, as a country, is this all happening? And I know it's not just health-related issues. It's the skyrocketing costs of doctor's fees and drugs and all that stuff. But do you think it's related?
I think it can be. The increase in diseases, particularly the ones that are immune,
diseases
and all the allergies, have increased since GMOs were introduced in the U.S. food supply.
And that's a pretty shocking statistic about the soy allergies in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. How is the world community at large? Are their guidelines and restrictions much more stringent in general? And I'm talking about the European countries. I know for cosmetics, they have much higher standards. And Lancome produces cosmetics for the United States and cosmetics for France and Germany and Italy. But we get the really remarkably lower standards. So how is the world community taking this on? Does Japan care? Does China care? Does India care?
Well, it's a very good point you make about how the companies will make different products for different countries. Because in the European Union, you cannot have GMOs, and they need to be...
In the European Union?
The countries of the European Union. Oh. I was just traveling in Switzerland. If it's a food produced in Switzerland, you were assured that there are no GMOs. So I would say in other countries, it's much more stringent than in the United States. It's almost a non-issue. It's GMOs got approved. They're fine. They're the same as conventionally grown crops, and let's have them in our food supply.
Right. And another thing that I loved about the movie, it really revealed the truth that it is not a political issue. Everybody had their hand in the till or were part of the lobbying. It was Democrats and it was Republicans, and they had pictures and they had documents. Nobody was stepping up in either party saying, we better stop this. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. If you think,
it made me really sad.
Yeah. I mean, if you think the Democrats might be more, once more stricter regulations on GMOs, that did not happen.
Didn't do a
we
thing.
Just went through the Clinton administration, and the people within the FDA were the same people that were in the Bush administration, and they call
they just
it
switched jobs.
The revolving door between Monsanto and the government.
I mean, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I didn't like that either. Have I been very clear about that? It's like, okay, we've got to really, it's the people's issue as far as I'm concerned. Okay, we're listening to Sally and Masha from the GMO Free Project of Tucson. We're going to break. We'll be right back. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream News Talk 790 KNST. Stay tuned. More good stuff. Welcome back, everybody. Love that music. I felt like singing, but I will spare all of you. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST, where we are certainly learning a lot of things today about genetically modified food. And I hope a lot of people are excited, not depressed, really excited, get spurred into action. Thank heavens for the internet, because you can research it and go down the rabbit hole of GMOs. For anybody who just tuned in, the movie will be on September 24th at Crossroads, and I think everybody knows where that is, corner of Grant and Swan, 6:30 and 9 o'clock, and you're asking that people bring non-GMO canned foods or foods for the food bank. Get that right? Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Sometimes the off-air conversations that we have during breaks, I just wish we had it recorded, because we had a great one. Masha brought up about milk, and I know that I have said on my show, I've written about it in my newsletter, it's been a tip, if you're going to change one habit, stop drinking hormone-injected milk with RBGH. So you told some really great stuff about how our country consumers stopped it. by many companies. You said it better than I do.
Okay, thanks a lot. Yes, RBGH milk was out and in March of 2008, but by consumer demand, Walmart stopped choosing the dairies that put it in their milk. So now we have Walmart, Starbucks, Safeway, Dean Foods, Kroger Foods do not have a milk that has the RBGH in it, which shows that if consumers demand what they want in their food and stop buying the food they don't want, the manufacturers will make the change.
One of my closest associates on this journey is a young woman named Lauren Lynn, and she designed my Fragile Handle with Care t-shirt. She was on the show, the All About You show, and she talked about, she calls it voting. She said, I vote every time I go to the grocery store. So you don't have to go to a website. You just go to the grocery store and you can vote. Now, also interestingly enough, who was the manufacturer of RBGH, which I didn't know either?
That was a Monsanto product. And also right after that time that Walmart decided not to buy milk with RBGH, I think it was in August of 2008, is when Monsanto sold that product to Eli Lilly. Now, if it was a very successful, profitable product, why would they have sold it?
And I want to know why Eli Lilly would have bought it, but they're probably going to use it in some other country that is not as politically aware as we are now. It's educated. So that was also interesting. Now, what kind of tipping point do we need to get to in order for somebody to take notice? I know with a senator or a legislature, if they get 10 phone calls, not emails, if they get 10 phone calls, they start saying, what's up? How many people have to vote, so to speak, to reach a tipping point?
Well, according to Jeffrey Smith of the Institute.
And who is Jeffrey Smith?
Jeffrey Smith is the founder of the Institute for Responsible Technology.
Okay.
And he's been studying GMOs for years. He's the expert. So he's calculated that only 5% of consumers are needed to reach the tipping point of total rejection of GMOs in the U.S. And so only 5% of us would need to change our buying habits for the big companies to feel a pinch in their pocketbook.
It's so encouraging to me because it's not going to take a mass exodus. 5%
exactly.
Is really not much. And based on the film, The World, according to Monsanto, a lot of people, I was listening to really these two women in their 70s or maybe even 80s or early 80s, very, you know, talking, walking, blah, blah, blah. And they were just kind of sad. They said, you know, look at our age and we had healthy food most of our lives, but for our kids and our grandchildren, how many people know this? And so the word starts spreading, I hope, virally, that they, in Tucson, I'm proud that you're bringing this film back. What about schools? What's going on in schools? Are they buying milk with RBGH? I bet my friend Lisa Hawken knows in the foothills. She's vigilant.
Well, that's a wonderful question, and I don't know the answer in Tucson. So if there are any moms out there who want to research that and let us know, are your kids drinking RBGH milk in schools? Some school systems in the rest of the United States have changed, and they have RBGH-free milk in the schools for the kids.
And if places like Shamrock are selling non-RBGH milk, they supply a lot of it. I'm sure it would just be a matter of a school district requesting it. So it's a call to action that isn't that difficult. And if Walmart's doing it, that means the price points are okay. I cannot believe how many times Walmart gets top billing for their organic, their green, their energy saving. And I think they're looking at their employment practices too. They're trying to really become an emerging leader in socially responsible behavior. So we'll be watching. And the good thing about that is it will make it affordable for the masses. We can take that argument away that organic food is not affordable. And I think that's awesome. So we don't have a lot of time left, but I really would like to talk a little bit about what is the GMO-free project in Tucson? You are the executive director. Do you have staff? How are you funded? How can people help support if they want to? How do you keep alive? I mean, you have to eat.
That's right. Well, we're a very small group. We just began.
Strong but mighty.
I heard Jeffrey Smith speak at a conference, and I came back inspired and said, let's raise awareness in Tucson. As I said, we're a small group. We are supported by donations, so go to our website, and you can see how you can donate. We have other plans that we'd like to have GMO-free restaurants in town.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd like to get people on board for that. Also, the GMO schools. Right now, we are all volunteers. And
okay,
I
so
do this as a passion.
So we can't cut your salary if we don't like what you're doing. That's right, because she has none. Your passion is so, it's clear. Now, just to have had the next movie already because of demand should give you a lot of inspiration and hope. And I'm really so happy that Tori told me what to do and that I did it. And I become a passionate advocate for just the information and knowledge, because then you can make an informed choice. I hope that there are parents listening that will feel the call to action for their schools, because that's a really small way to help. If five parents go in to meet with the principal, it'll change. Thank you both for taking time out of your day to come on and to give us such great stuff. And I will not be in town. Mrs. Green will be at sea, sailing the high seas in Alaska, or else I would be there with friends, and I've already started spreading the word. So this is News Talk 790 KNST. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great takeaway, and I hope that you will go see The World According to Monsanto on the 24th of September at Crossroads Festival. You can always email Mrs. Green at Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. I'm sure there's information about it in the Green Times. So thanks for tuning in. Have a great green week.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST. All about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST.